Hallelujah. So we're looking at camp meeting. Hallelujah. Matthew 18 again and 20. We said some things already in the first service. Said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. I'm just going to summarize the first service for you. So we said that God made human beings, you and I, as interactive beings. He made us dependent on one another. I'll take that again. He made them dependent on one another. There is no self-made human being. At least you came to this world through someone. You came to this world through relationships. You came through this world through someone's nurture, care. And you grew up the same way. Even those who say, my parents left me, they abandoned me. Somebody took care of them. Something must have taken care of you at some point. So God made human beings to be interactive, to relate. Why is it like that? We said in the first service, He created humanity in pairs, such that what you need is in someone else. And you will need to honor that relationship, fellowship with that relationship, or in that relationship, receive in that relationship, learn tolerance, long-suffering, patience in that relationship to fulfill God's plan for your life. You cannot fulfill God's plan alone. It doesn't happen, and it cannot happen. God called man to be in fellowship with Him by being in fellowship with others. Like I mentioned earlier on, if God would, He would have made us at once, and all of us would show up at once in the same place at the same time. There would be nothing called age. There would be no uncle, brother, daddy, mommy. Everybody just showed up, whoop, at the same time. You know, but He did it in such a way that we will come before one another, come through one another, need each other to sustain our lives and our existence here on earth. That is so basic that you shouldn't lose it. And it's the same way that when you are born again, you are baptized into a body. 1 Corinthians 12:13. You are baptized into Christ. And Christ refers, into the body of Christ, to His union with others. So that you have no individual Christian living. Even though you are an individual, no doubt. But your relationship with God is networked, tied to other people. So having said that, that is very basic. Now I said in the first service, I'll say that again, that the nation of Israel, Psalm 103:7, the psalmist said they knew God's ways. And people sometimes wonder why some of us take our time to explain and explain and explain. Why do we spend so much time to explain? No, why can't we just come here, pray for people, ask them what they want, and do all those kind of things? You see, if we do that, we'll be raising that same generation that went through Egypt, through the wilderness. And the psalmist said, they saw God's works. That was all. He said they saw His works. But they did not know His ways. Moses knew His ways. He knew what God was doing. He knew what God wanted to do. Like I said in the first service, in a very loose way, that it appeared like God wouldn't do anything without Moses. So Moses became what God was doing, such that when Moses himself couldn't lead Israel anymore, by God's judgment on his rash speaking, by the way, Moses missed it by what he said. I've told you before, 2 years ago, I did a series for you, Don't Be Stupid. Can you remember? Your words matter. Is that clear? What you say matters. And what Moses said was rash, inadvisedly, like the psalmist called it. He spoke too quickly, spoke in anger. And God said, you didn't honor me before people, and you will lead them. But in the midst of all of that, Moses besought the Lord in Numbers 27. He said, look, I know I'm not leading them, but you have to choose a man over this congregation who will lead your people, so that verse 17, Numbers 27, God's people will not be a sheep having no shepherd. Now notice something there. Now I've always emphasized this over the years. God was right there with them. So God's presence is not all that you need. I'll take that again. God's presence is not all that you need. He was with Israel. He was in their camp. Exodus chapter 6, verse 6 to 8 or 4 to 8. He was in their camp. They saw his glory. But they needed a man to lead them. And they said, all right, choose Joshua. And Moses had to lay hands on Joshua. We'll see that shortly in a moment. He laid hands on Joshua in verse 18 and through to 19, who lead God's people. Same way with the 12, the 120. Jesus had given his commitment. We did a bit of that study in the first service, or mentioned in the first service, that when Jesus said, I will send to you another comforter, it was referring to Father, Son, and Spirit. I've studied that with you over and over again. The comforter is not the Holy Ghost alone. It's Father, Son, and Spirit. Now, when he said that, you'll have thought that was all. You got the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'll give you another comforter. That he may abide with you forever. John 14, 16 and 17. The comforter will guide you into all truth. John 16, 12 and 13. He will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. John 16, 7, 8 and 9. The Spirit will bring to your remembrance what I have said to you. John 14, 26. He will testify of me. John 15 and 26. Yet, notice, in the same book of John, he chooses Peter in John 21, 15, 16, and 17 to feed his flock. Why would he choose a man? He's giving them his spirit. In fact, he is with them, right? But he needs a man. So I told you in the first service, as I have said over the years, that God's method is what? Man. If you miss man, you will miss God. Look at the Bible in your hands. The Bible in your hand is called the Word of God. Right? Come on. But God did not write a single statement there. Many times, it was men who spoke. Who said something. It is called the Word of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, 2 Timothy 3:16. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. Yet, who wrote it? Men wrote it in their own language. Through their own mindset, in their own understanding, they wrote it, and God assumed it as his word, because his method is man. If you miss man, you miss God. Why was the nation of Israel said to try and test God and prove him? Psalm 95 verse 11, Hebrews 3 and 6 and 5. Why? What exactly were they doing? You know, they hardly addressed God directly. They were always addressing Moses and Aaron, and God said they addressed him. Because God's method is man. You can't say, forget all the men, it's God I have to do business with. You just missed God. Man is God's method. Man is God's method. That's why the Bible opens up with something so important. Listen carefully now. I've asked them that all the meetings I did on my trips, at least three of them, should be published until you go listen to them. The one I did in both in Nigeria and also in Nigeria, I said they should publish it so you can listen to it, because I did some explanation on the things I'm seeing right now. Now, look at the opening pages of the Bible. He'd made the heavens and the earth. He now made man in his image. And I've explained to you, image is like if you've gone to your hometown before, you know, if you've been there, and you try to visit some of the shrines. Well, I've been to the shrines. And not necessarily for evangelism. And I didn't go there to also worship. Son died. Anyway, I've been there for evangelism too, definitely. You will see something that's like an image, a concrete, sometimes called a figurine. And it's meant to be, so in the place of the gods they can't see, they build something to represent those gods. And whatever is done to those, we call them idols, is what you have done to the gods. That is what the Bible means. When he let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So man is God's image. How we treat man is how we have treated God. That's why he said that if you kill a human being, Genesis 9:6, he said your blood will be required. The blood will be required from your hands because man is my image, which means you have done it to me. So man is God's image. The psalmist once said, "Oh Lord our God, how excellent is your name. When I look at the stars, the sun, the moon and the stars, and the handiwork, your handiwork, what your fingers have created, I wonder, what is man that you are mindful of him?" Because man looks the frailest of God's creature. We will run from dogs. Well, that's me. I don't like dogs. Bible says beware of dogs. How about that for a scripture? You know, you need to know how to walk with the scriptures. Remember years back, I want to preach somewhere. And as I was preaching, I'm used to removing my suit. Let that from a couple of other preachers. I just saw them and I removed. So when I pray, I remove my suit. I'm not going to do it today, consciously. So unknowingly, that particular country was very cold. So as I removed my suit naturally, I dropped it. Oh, I'm going. Ha! I'm sure the people thought I was under one strange unction. I was going, So I said, what can I do? So I just found a scripture. So turn your Bibles to Luke 24:49. Jesus said, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued." See, that word endued is a Greek word endu. It means to wear a garment. Give me back my jacket. That's how I wore my jacket and I went back to myself. But that edified the church. You gotta know what to do. So beware that we will run from mosquitoes. Image of God. Image of God, right? Image of God, we see Spider-Man. So you say, what is man? That you're mindful of him, not the son of man, Psalm 8:4-5, that you visit him. He said, you have made him a little lower than the Elohim, the supernatural world, that when I look at angels and angelic beings, man looks a little lower. That's obvious. Because the psalmist and Hebrews 1:7 says they are like flames of fire. And for some of us who have been to the churches where they worship, you know, all those, someone said, I saw an angel. Yeah, very shocking. I grew up didn't like that. Because my family should attend a church like that. And one day, on a Sunday, already, you know, we don't go to church eating. We eat rice in the afternoon on Sunday. In the morning, nothing. And the church service starts at 7 and ends wherever the Spirit leads. So, but usually, you know, you're expecting rice in the afternoon and Mil Mascaras, Argentina, Apollo. You know what I'm saying? Is wrestling. Well, a mighty eagle. So I was waiting for that till one lady began to spin. He said, young girl, we're both young. So she carried spirit. You don't know what that is, just don't know what it is. And then she says to me, the Lord said there are enemies. The enemies outside. I should not go outside because there are enemies there. That if I go outside, something bad will happen to me. I should not go. The enemy is there. Yeah? And I had test, just the next week, that week. So that's how my dad and mom believed about the enemy story. And I couldn't leave the church building. And they were serving me with coconut. Can you imagine? That's why today I don't like coconut. And then, but what was the most upsetting for me was that they asked me not to go outside, but the church doors were not shut. Wide open. The church had no fence, no gate. So I'm upset. So my first day in incarceration, I began to plan. I changed my future ambition. I said I was going to join the military. Well, of course. I grew up in the military era, so I said I was going to join the military and rise quickly and become a lieutenant colonel or something like that. And I'm going to plan a coup with fellow soldiers. And I'm going to announce a coup myself. Fellow Nigerians. This is to, first of all, announce the closure of all the churches, particularly the ones that carry spirits. They must not worship again or fellowship anywhere. You know, some years later, many years after, I now went to preach, and I saw this for the same denomination, and I saw, now I was not a preacher, I was a pastor then, they called me to come speak for them. So I saw the same lady, we're now semi-adults. So she tried to do the same thing. I guess it's a crush. I never said that before, because how can you have the same spirit years down the line? And so she's twirling again. And she's going. And, she's, ooh, ooh, ooh. And so of course, you know, when that happens, you hold them, right? So that they don't fall down. So she did it towards me. And I manipulated the chair for her to hit. Boom! That's what you did to me in primary 3. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Now don't do that to anyone. I'm just telling you my sins. How did I get here? Come on. Woo! Alright. So we should assume that we have angelic beings. They are superior. In fact, when I as a younger Christian, I saw one of the brethren. Let's just say one person is brethren. And he came back one night in the fellowship meeting, his eyes were black. So I said, what happens to brothers? So I said, you're a new creature, new convert. You don't know spiritual warfare. So what happened? He said, when he was engaging those forces, they gave him a blow. Boom. So I made up my mind, I'm not going to grow. Blow? No growth for me, man. How can you be getting blows because you are growing? Because we have that kind of respect for the supernatural world. We should. But, notice what is in Psalm 8. Made him a little lower than the Elohim. But crowned him with glory and honor. And put him over the works of your hands. Hallelujah. So God didn't commit the world to angels. That of Hebrews says that in Hebrews 2, 5, and 6. He didn't commit the words of angels. He said, to which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? To none. To which of the angels just sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool? To none. He said that to man. All I need is an angel. No! God put you in the community of men. So what's in there? So the answers we need in life. He says, I'm just praying. I know God, we're expecting a revelation of Jesus. And he's going to show up. Jesus will go, whoo. Say, yeah, you know, you have a personal relationship with me. That's why I came. Doesn't it amaze you? You appeared to Saul of Tarsus. Saul fell on the road to Damascus. Acts 9:5. Said, who art thou, Lord? Said, Saul, why do you kick against the priest? Said, who art thou, Lord? Said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. Said, what would you have me do? Jesus gave him instruction to go to a house. Hallelujah. Said, Jesus is there already. Come on, Jesus, do what you want to do. Then Jesus in verse 10 and 11 appeared to Ananias and told Ananias to go to the house of Saul Montana. There's one man called Saul. He's praying there, for he sees in a vision that you will come and lay your hands on him, that he might be filled with the Holy Ghost. So Jesus appearing to Paul was not sufficient. It wasn't sufficient. 4 chapters after, he's going to have Paul and Barnabas go to the same work of the ministry. Acts 13:1 said there were at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. One of them was Saul and then Barnabas. Said, as they ministered the Lord and fasted, said, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. Now, was it the Holy Ghost speaking through the speakers? How did the Holy Ghost speak? Through the mouths of those who were there. Same way Acts 1:16. They said, the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work I've called. And Paul, in his writings to the Roman church, the church in Rome, Romans 1:1, he used the exact words. He said, I, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, separated to the gospel of God. How was he separated? By God. Through who? Through men. The Bible says, and then they laid hands on him. Hallelujah. They laid hands on him and sent him away. And the next verse, verse 4 says, being sent by the Holy Ghost. Man is God's method. Acts of the Apostles chapter 10, a man by Cornelius, he's seeking God. He wants God. He wants God to do something. He's seeking God. The Bible says his hands are come up as a memorial, his godly lifestyle. Then an angel appeared to him and said that. And what did the angel say? Go and send for Peter. Eh? The angel knows his limitation. Send for a man. And they had to wait. And I told you this before. That man, the centurion, had a band of soldiers. It's like someone commanding a barracks today. And then he asks his guys to go look for Peter. As they saw Peter, they all fell down in adoration, almost worship. Why? Because he has spoken well of Peter. And as Peter got to his house, this is why the whole house received the word. The man must have walked on them to see what Peter was doing as the move of God. If you miss man, you miss God. Man is God's method. Did you hear me? Man is God's method. Man is God's method. Man is God's method. Man is God's method. It's his method to write his word. His method to go to the nations. He sent Jonah to Nineveh. How come he didn't go himself? He sent Jonah to Nineveh. Is Jonah not wanting to go? And then those guys in the boat picked him and dropped him in the sea. What a drop. And he goes right in the well, which means he died. He comes back alive and he goes to the place to preach. And the entire Nineveh were turned to the Lord. Amen. God's method is man. Man is his method. Are you here? And I shared this, you listen to me in serious. I said, the gospel has many moments in the Bible. The Abraham moment, the Isaac moment, the Moses moment, the David moment, but the greatest moment of it was when Jesus rose from the dead. The greatest display of God's power in humanity was when he became a man. Why was he so vital for God to become a man? Because man is his method. And so you must know that. The way you treat the church is how you treat Christ. The way you treat the church is how you treat Christ. The way you treat the church is how you treat Christ. There is no relationship we have with God devoid of how you relate to people. Whatever you do in the house of God, you do to God. Many don't know that. Remember the story Pastor Christian Yakilum said to us sometimes late 1994. And he said that this is a story about a guy whose father-in-law called him and told him to help him build a house. He said, whatever you need to build the house, give it to me. I'll give you the money. So the man will come. He'll tell him he needs this one. He'll sign the checks. He'll come every now and then, build the house. To build the house. Eventually he built the house. And when he built the house, father-in-law said, okay, let's see the house you built. And then took him there. The day of the commissioning of the house, he said, son, I've been trying to see what to give to you for many years. So I decided to give you exactly what was on your heart. That's why I said, go and build the most beautiful house you know. And so this house is actually your own. So he gave him the keys. Son-in-law began to cry. Not the cry of joy. But sadness. He did not know the house was his own. So he had brought inferior materials. He was going to live in it. Anything you do in the house of God is what you have done to yourself. Is what you have done to yourself. If someone is preaching and you walk away and say, they're wasting my time, you discover that you wasted your own time. Because whatever you do to the house of God is what you have done to God and to His Word. Man is God's method. Don't ever lose that. Man is God's method. Are you here? Your spiritual growth is committed to people's lives, people's hands. You cannot grow on your own. It doesn't happen. You can't know God by yourself. It does not happen. It won't happen. Do you know that Jesus needed a man to save us? Huh? Or you think that He just appeared in the manger? Ah! Oh no, no. God had to talk to man. Right? He talked to Mary first. Right? Not that Mary just woke up and said, what's happening to my body? I'm the Lord. I'm here. I'm in your womb. He talked to Mary. When Joseph got to know, he talked to Joseph. And it's good to have such a husband or a boyfriend who doesn't use WhatsApp stupidly. Oh, come on. He just goes on WhatsApp. This gender. This gender. I won't say much. Be careful of holy sisters. And everybody knows that your wife is, wife to be seen as holy. That's how they say they are holy. But it's other things that is happening. Imagine the greatest lie in history. That the Holy Ghost impregnated a woman. Men and brethren, please hear this matter. Are you here? He kept it. Was a good guy. He also didn't call a friend. Bros, I have something that is really bothering me. What's it? Tell me now. I don't know how to say it. Tell me, it's Mary. What happened to her? No, it's what happened to me. You know, that's foolishness, right? Imagine if you had done that, the angel would go to how many people? To tell them, no. It's written in the scriptures. It's already on Facebook, it's on Twitter. The angel will say, okay, please, can I tweet? Don't be an idiot! Okay? Keep your mouth shut! Glory to God. God bless someone. Create a greater problem. God instructs me to keep quiet. Keep quiet. Imagine if you told Samuel, Samuel, go to the house of Jesse and not Mary King. He didn't even tell him the name of the guy. And then Samuel goes in there. Says, guys, actually God said I should go to the house of Jesse. He doesn't want most people to know, but you know, so you know my ministry is legitimate. I'm going to the house of Jesus to anoint the king. He'll have died on the way. Yehuda, you must know how to talk. Look at Nathan. Nathan going to David to tell David about the adultery. If he had gone, say, my king, the Lord said I should tell you what you have done. He went wisely. Use a parable. David said, the man must die. He said, yeah, your highness, sir. You are the man. So you must know how to use words, okay? Don't be stupid. Okay. How do we get to this one? So God had to speak to Mary. And Mary had to say, be it unto me according to your word. Luke 1:38. No word of God is void of power. Verse 37. A man had to receive it. The greatest event in human history. God needed a man to do it. An angel was present, but the angel couldn't make it happen. It's the man that made it happen. And Jesus grew. Luke 2:40, he grew like a regular human being. The mom was nurturing him. And I guess at some point she must have forgotten who he was. Changed his diapers, assuming they have one. Cleaned him up. Must have woken her up at night. No! Jesus! Ah! Please give me rest in Jesus' name! You must have pulled! Ah, Jesus! How many times do you want to pull in the day? You must have run away from her at some point. Jesus, where are you? Hey, don't put me in trouble. Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God. Look for God for me. She must have done all of that. So after a while, it's likely she forgot who he was. You know we do that? The more we interact with one another and see our humanity, we lose sight of who we are. Are you here? And you know, one day Jesus was in a Bible study. That shows you he did not know the scriptures from heaven. From 60 days old, just said Malachi 3:1. He sat down like you are sitting now. He didn't get up 10 times to use the restroom. Can I have an amen? He sat there. Those of the Lord were teaching. He was 12. 12. I tell people oftentimes, the creation of a youth church is an abnormality. Jesus gave his entire ministry to teenagers. I organized my first crusade as a teenager. Now I'm not talking about we brought in churches to work with us. I was a teenager. My first mission work outside Nigeria across West Africa, I was a teenager. Praise the Lord. He was 12. He sat there, hearing the word, asking questions. Then the mom comes and says, Jesus, what could it be? You think Jesus went, oh Jesus, nice to see you. Have you looked for a child before? When I was in primary school, one day I just had to be a hero. I attended Unilag Staff School. And I was, so usually the driver of a family friend would come and pick us. That day I just said, let me walk home myself. There was no third mainland bridge then and all that. So it was, I was living near Urushoki. So I began to walk home like a G, following the same route that the car would follow. And the whole family was looking for me. There was no phone, nothing. So I was walking. I was walking. I was in primary two. Walking home alone. By the time I appeared on the scene, the house was like a three-story. Two-story building. And so, as I appeared, everybody was outside. My dad was back from work. So I was walking home. The first thing my dad did, he ran to the house and he knelt down. Jesus, I thank you. I give you. The second part of the story. I was blessed with all spiritual blessings. In the heavenlies and the earthly places. Not to take such heroic stupidities. You know. So they are looking for Jesus. And they found him after many days. What is God, did you do to me to trouble me? How come I kill you for my mother? And then he said, why are you bothered? I'm about my father's business. Then he followed them. Because he was 12. She repeated the same thing. When he was now in his 30s, he said, who do you say is looking for me? She stood outside the church and said, go and tell Pastor Jay, mommy is outside. Mommy wants to see him. And the usher said, okay, mommy Jesus, mommy God. Mommy, said, pastor, mommy is outside. He said, who's that? Who is my father? Who is my mother? Anyone who hears my words. She didn't take offense. She didn't say, me. And you. So God uses men, okay? He uses men. When he was going to announce the ministry of Jesus, it wasn't by angels. Ba-da-ba-da. Hello world, you may not have noticed, someone has been in your midst now for 30 years, We want to announce his presence. Okay, Uriel. Gabriel. Sabrini. Let's do it now. Let it go. Jesus for you. He used a man to ordain him into ministry. This is God himself. John the Baptist was the one who validated the ministry of Jesus. That was why when John himself became offended, you know, John was offended that Jesus, he was in jail. Jesus did not do a press release to the body of Christ. This is about John to Nigeria. What are you doing about God's Sabbath? Jesus said nothing. And John is offended in prison. He goes, is he telling me that Herod did not do the wrong thing? Then he called his disciples. The same people he announced Jesus to, that he's greater than him. He said, go and ask him. Is he the one to come or should we fashi? You know what fashi is? And expect someone else. Those of us who went to see it. Anyway, they are disciples. And they said, sorry, Saul. Pastor said we should ask you. Are you the one to come? Should we expect another? He said, go tell John. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the dead are raised, lepers are cleansed, the poor have the gospel preached unto them, blessed is the one who is not offended in me. Now, Jesus didn't do a tit for tat. Jesus now went ahead to validate the ministry of John. Even though John was questioning his own ministry, Jesus didn't say, who even told you are also called? You gotta be keeping quiet? All these years? I'm just expecting your calling before. He said, who is John? He is greater than a prophet. No one has a reason. Born of a woman! Who is as great as John? Because if he had invalidated the ministry of John, he just did that to his own ministry. Do you understand that? Don't ever say, no, nobody is irreplaceable. Let God say it. He brought John to his life. John was his second cousin. But John was the one he used to announce Jesus to the world. We're going to see something shortly about that. That was why, when they were going to describe Jesus, notice the life of Jesus is documented majorly from John's baptism. Mark, John's baptism. John, John's baptism. Matthew gave us a bit of history in Matthew 2. But from Matthew 3, John's baptism. Luke also from Luke 3, John's baptism. So it was from John's baptism that the life of Jesus was relevant in that sense. Why? John was the one who ordained him into ministry. If you miss John, you miss him. If you miss man, you miss God. Jesus had to go for John's meetings, right? Come on. Was it John who came to Jesus? No, he went for his meeting. He went for John's program, right? Come on, are you here? He went there. He wouldn't have been set in ministry if he stayed in the house. So let's get back to this. Man is God's method. You know, we said that Moses knew his ways. One of the reasons why we teach you like this, so that you will know how. You will know why. You will know how. You will know why. A good number of believers can be extremely ignorant. I was in the first service. I was told about casting out of demons. That when you are casting out demons, be careful for the environment. That when they leave somebody, they can fly at another person. That just the sweat of the demon possessed by woo. Particularly those who, if they speak and the spirit comes out, touches your body. Demonic affliction. So one day I saw some people casting out demons, I was moving fast. Yeah? You know. So one of my first healing meetings that I did, I showed you before, and I'm laying hands on the sick, and nobody got well. Not one single person. In fact, they went back to the hospital. Some that were not sick before now became sick. So, someone came to me and said to me, I still talk to the person now, and he said, why did you lay hands on them? I said, the Bible says lay hands on the sick. He said, lay hands on the sick, cast out demons. You will lay hands on those who are demons. Don't you know when you lay hands, the demon will come back to you? You know, as he was saying that, I just started shivering. And that night, I was sick. I had to be admitted to the hospital. My first healing meeting. Because I didn't know how. You must know how. How does God work? How does he work? He uses man. Is that clear? How does he work? You must know his method. No amount of personal prayer can be sufficient for you. It's okay to pray personally. You must pray personally. You must have a personal prayer life. But no amount of personal prayer is sufficient for you. God will raise men to pray for you with your very solid prayer life. In fact, sometimes the reason why you have a prayer life is because people are praying for you. God raises men. He raises men. He uses men. And because he uses men, that's his method. How? We have to be around the men that he uses. Write this down. The walking of the Spirit of God is domiciled. It has a location. The workings of the Spirit of God has a location. It has a place. The workings of the Spirit of God has a location. And we must find out. And we must know how. You know, in Luke's Gospel chapter 5, Jesus was in the synagogue preaching. And as he was preaching in the synagogue, it's strange that the people praying for a Messiah saw him and they couldn't recognize him. He's preaching there, and Luke told us, in Luke 5:17, that the power of the Lord was present to heal. But the guys there were there to argue. They were there to criticize. They were there to argue. They were there to criticize. You know, there are people today, all they talk about when they talk about the body of Christ is problems. This church is at fault. This church is... You have to stay off such people. It's a negative spirit. They are always complaining. Someone told me, said we need revival. One of the places I preached in the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, the testimonies from the different ministers. Someone had been out of ministry 14 years. Is now back, planted the second church already. One person told the story. He said, we were just 24. They have changed their church location now the third time because of space. And you sit down somewhere and say, the body of Christ. He says, no. You go to where it is happening. Hallelujah. Find out where it is happening. God's Spirit is moving in the earth today. He is. And then they are criticizing. Always criticizing. I've told you. I never watch any video that is a joke about the church. It's dangerous. I never do it. I don't watch videos about scandals. I don't see it. I don't read it. Even for preachers that I don't agree with their mode of ministry, I don't even subscribe to what they preach. But I don't try to feed on negative things about them. It will affect you. These guys are critical. You know, the Pharisees and Sadducees also knew scripture. They'll be quoting scripture like that on Twitter, on Facebook, on TikTok, on Instagram. But a critical spirit. They will never see what God is doing. I'll share this story with you. Years ago, I think it's this year should be 25 or 26 years. Our ministry then, we were doing a Holy Ghost meeting. It was a build up. The previous year we had done some meetings and it was really building up. God's move was everywhere. People were called to the ministry. People traveled from different states to be at the meeting. This was in 1998. And then as we were planning, suddenly from nowhere, brethren started to argue. They were arguing over food. You know, food is dangerous. Brethren. They were arguing over food. They started arguing over how some people were talking. They're not talking properly. So the people now formed themselves into groups. Groups. For, against, neutral. I didn't even know. By the time I got to know, it was 2 days to the meeting. Now, the unfortunate thing about it was that people already were being uncomfortable with our church, our ministry there, sorry. And they were already uncomfortable. So we were facing those ones who were saying we're heretics and stuff like that. And inside the house, Satan needed to do nothing more from outside. We were arguing. They call for a prayer meeting. We were praying in tongues. Watching our number, boss, brother. I'm telling you. When the meeting took place, and we're done, the brethren now spoke after the meeting. Said, what happened? That meeting didn't look like, it didn't look like the other meetings we've been having. Something must have been wrong. They were saying that among themselves. Now listen to this one. Those that we invited from other ministries now had glorious testimonies. In fact, one of them wrote on Facebook a couple of years, he's a pastor in Abuja now, he wrote it on Facebook that that was where he received the call to ministry. But the people that organized it did not see it because they were, something else was in their minds. Are you here? The interesting thing about God's method is that God's method is man, and man will never be perfect. And so, you know, Jesus is right there. The power of God is there. And the guys inside the meeting, the camp, they were arguing. They were arguing, what's he even saying? Is that his scripture? Is that his word? And that's what they were doing in the meeting. They were looking for faults. I told someone, I said, don't go to a church that you are always suspicious of what is being preached. You are disturbing yourself. You are injuring yourself. I said, see, the people that go to the church, where maybe what they are teaching is not so accurate, but the people that attend believe it, and they have a receptive heart towards it, they will grow better than you. A critical spirit is not faith, though. Looking for fault, wondering, being suspicious. These guys were there, and they're looking, and the power of the Lord was there. Don't forget, Luke says the power of the Lord was there, but they were criticizing. It's very likely many of them were sick. It was now a fellow and his friends, listen carefully now, who were not inside the auditorium, that knew what was happening there. They were not inside. They now came in through the roof. Jesus now saw their faith and said, oh, your sins are forgiven. Arise and walk. Take up your bed and walk. Do you know what the critic said again? Who is he to forgive sins? Because you cannot pacify critics. Who is he? Do you have power to forgive sins? They didn't heal the cripple, though. But they wanted to cripple the cripple. In Luke 11, the woman who was also bent over, they were also there looking at Jesus. Let's see what he's going to do. Let's see what he's going to do. Let's go. What's he going to do? He said, woman that was loose. Hey, you see? He said, hey, young evangelist or pastor, must you heal on Sabbath? You know they are mad. Jesus said, which one of you has an animal and guests missing, you don't look for, or has an animal and you don't water him on the Sabbath day. Water it on the Sabbath day. What's the Sabbath for anyway? Say, ought not this woman whom Satan has bound long many years loose from her infirmity, seeing that he's also the daughter of Abraham? Critics don't see things like that. Hallelujah. Talk to someone beside you, don't be a fault finder. The moment you're a fault finder, you cut yourself off receiving, you will get anything. If you see anyone who's your friend on Twitter, Facebook, and he's always criticizing the church, if you love your life, stop listening to them. Stop even reading anything they say, good or bad. Why are you this negative? Why are you so negative? Why don't you say anything good in the body of Christ? People are receiving salvation. They're getting born again. Daniel Colander was here, who took over from Reinhard Bonnke, was in Hawaii a few weeks ago. And what testimony of people getting born again in the same country. They are excited about salvation. You say, what's even happening in this Nigeria? The church. Whereas people outside the country, they want our fire. We stay here, we're putting out our fire by ourselves. I won't be a critic. I'm not a fault finder. A fault finder will always lose because man is God's method. And if you look at people very close enough, you'll find faults. If you look very closely, just take some time, you'll find faults. Peter was so close to Jesus, and he had to tell Jesus, say, I'll be far from you. Jesus said, he's going to die in Jerusalem. He said, what did you just say? I bind that in Jesus' name. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan, for you are an offense unto me. You savor not the things that are of God, but of men. That's why the next chapter, Jesus took them out to the Mount of Transfiguration, just the next chapter, and they saw him in all his glory. Hey, though they woke up from sleep, we still don't have the full account. Because they slept off. Hey, James, don't. Hey. That's why the next thing they said was, can we build three tabernacles? Can you imagine? That's what they said. Jesus didn't even answer that question. No, that's why when you sleep and you wake up, don't see anything. Don't say, I bless you, O God. Are you in church? God's method is what? Man is God's method. Man is God's method. And he said, God's spirit is domiciled from the Old Testament. When God was going to use other people, Moses had cried to the Lord in Numbers and verse 11. He had said, Lord, I can't bear the burden of these people alone. Lord said, okay, look for 70 elders. He didn't say, Moses, I am your strength. I am your fortress and life support. Moses, don't worry. As long as I'm with you, this job will be done. And Moses, how can you have me and you say you are stressed? How can you have me? And you say this pastor, you can't be saying that, Moses. How can you say you can't bear it alone? Are you the one bearing it alone? Am I not with you? Watch it. He said, Moses, alright, go look for 70 guys who will relieve you. He didn't say, I'm your strength. Moses looked for 70 people. He took the spirit upon Moses and put it upon them. Same way Jesus said, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Why did he say laborers are few? He was the only laborer. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send for what? Because God's method is what? And he domiciles the work of the spirit with men. If you miss man, you miss God. So it's not sufficient to say, I have the Holy Ghost. God brings people your way. And how do you access what he has given them? By coming in contact with them. By going for meetings where people are. I mentioned this in the first service. when they were going to replace Judas. Who did they choose? Acts 1, 21 and 22. They said, one amongst us. Who was with us most of the time? Huh? Come on. All the time. Who was present all the time? Going in and out. Then he said, from the baptism of John, not irrelevant things. You came for someone's wedding. You attended someone's birthday. Some brethren, that's when they are active. You know they are lively or someone is doing birthday. You've seen them all in all the pictures. All the photographs. Representing. Where it mattered the most was the baptism of John. Till the day in which he was taken. That's what matters. When he began ministry. So there are meetings. And so say, I may not have attended that John's camp meeting. But I was there in the temple. I was there. His second birthday, I was the one that bought the cake. I was there now. Even the day before that John's baptism, I was with Jesus now. Jay, I did now. We had drinks together. Did you go to John's baptism? I just felt, why should I go for John's baptism? Is he the only man of God? I mean, don't make this thing look like it's about your ministry now. So if I don't go for John's baptism, I didn't go to church. So you don't say that. God is everywhere. Must I go for John's baptism? You think by talking so much, you are saying sense. God chose John to show Jesus. Basic. You missed it. Imagine when Jesus said, tarry in the city of Jerusalem. You say, you go and meet Peter. Pastor Peter, sorry. You kept insisting that the meeting has to be Jerusalem. Said, Lord Jesus said, I know he said it, but it has to be Jerusalem. Say Jerusalem. Jesus said Jerusalem. But I understand he said Jerusalem, but he also said all of Judea and Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. No, he said we take the gospel there. I understand that. But don't let's be so rigid about the scriptures. Jerusalem is just a codified language. Jerusalem can be my living room. I mean, look at it. Then as you are saying that, someone just posted on Facebook. You know, devil knows how to use people. Just say, don't let anybody localize what God is doing. Think outside the box. You see? On the day of Pentecost, that's how you are Stanford Bridge. You know, that's the bridge. Does the number, you are on number 10. Anything that God is doing doesn't affect you. 10. You win, 10. You lose, 10. They beat you, 10. You are beating, 10. You beat people, 10. Tomorrow, same thing. Yesterday, they were waiting for evil. I saw them. They were waiting. God does not support hypocrites. You know, you now leave Jerusalem for a wedding on the day of Pentecost. Holy Ghost, come. The only CD you get. I can get the teaching. Teaching. Some things are taught. Some things are caught. It's not everything that is taught. If you are not there, you are not there. No amount of series can take the place. That's why they said, from the baptism of John till the day he was taken, none of them was aware they were going to choose him. None. They were just available. You have to be where God is moving. Do you hear what I'm saying? If you are not there, you are not there. And some will lose out and they will go elsewhere and be praying. And be praying. They'll say, they'll think this by going to a camp and staying there for 14 days. I'll tell people, going to a campground to do retreat does not take the place of being in a meeting. Some have wasted their time. I'll repeat this again. Years ago, I thought it was 23 years this year, but Pastor Latobu was 24 years, because she was in the meeting. And I was to preach in the evening, just like I was doing, I was, you know, praying, and the Lord showed me a certain brother that would come into the meeting. I'm repeating it again. I didn't plan to repeat this service, but I said in the first service. And as I was preparing, I saw him. I saw the dress he wore. And the Lord said to me that he's looking for this, and you are meant to say to him, so and so, but he will not wait. He will leave. Now, a bit after that, I was wondering why the Lord showed me that, but I've now found out it's to be able to explain things I'm saying right now. So I spoke to the host minister, told him, God showed me something. I never told the minister what it was till today. So as he walked into the meeting, I was preaching. I saw him, the same dress. I was like, wow, that's the brother. And as he got in, he sat to the right like this. And he was saying, God, Father, what? Hey, see what? I said, so you will see leave. He was shouting. At some point he got up. Come on! Woo! God! Oh yeah! So as I said, let's get up and lift our hands, he just walked out. And I'm sure he'll be fasting afterwards, looking for direction that God gave to him already. I'm sure he'll be going from church to church. It's not everything that can be recovered. Don't miss such moments. Don't miss the moments. There are times and seasons I've taught you. Don't miss the moments. And so there are meetings that God will call. Jesus called the 12 to meet with him at a mountain. He, can you imagine? He saw them one-on-one. Then he said, on so-so and so date, you come and meet me at a place. That's what he told them. On so-so and so date. How come he didn't tell them by himself? Because that is not how God works. God works with meetings. What did I say? He works with meetings. How come he didn't go and tell them, hey, you know what, you guys, he didn't go to meet them individually. He gave them the Great Commission together. The Great Commission was received in a meeting. The Holy Ghost was given individually? In a meeting. God works with meetings. I stand before you today. I've been born again over 35 years. I've been in the ministry almost the same number of years. There's nothing God has given me in ministry I did not receive in a meeting. Nothing. Not one. I make claim to nothing that I've individually, personally received without men. Not one. Meetings are God's ways. You see, listen, even staying with people is not sufficient. Jesus was staying with people. He called them for a meeting. There are things he will do in the meeting he won't do elsewhere. The things he will do that he won't do elsewhere. So you must know how to treasure meetings. I was going for a camp. This year is going to be 30 years. Next year. It's going to be 30 years. And the man of God had prepared us, has spoken to us how to prepare. And I was preparing hard. Preparing really hard. I fasted. I was praying. But you know, then I was still living with my parents, so they said no, that I couldn't go. because it was Easter period. He said, no, 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 you can't go anywhere. And I felt so bad. So I began to prepare how I was going to go. Because the first day I couldn't make it. So I began to pack my stuff in a very intelligent way. So I put my stuff at the other side of the fence overnight. So that when I'm leaving the next day, nobody knows where I'm going to. So I left the house like I was in a pair of slippers. They thought I was just taking a stroll. So I went behind, picked my stuff, and raptured. So I was fasting, doggedly. One thing I knew was I wasn't going for myself alone. I knew that I was going there for millions untold, thousands of people. If I didn't go, I won't be here today. And I was there. I thought the meeting had begun on a Thursday. Unknown to me was that Friday evening. So I was taken to the border town by the cab. I didn't know the road, the way. So I was misled. By the time I got to the border town, they said, no, 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 no. You know, Lagos, you have missed it. It's far, 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 far. So I had the option. Then I had kept money to buy the books and the tapes, hoping that my own friends who were going to join me were going to give me back the money because I used my own money to pay for their registration. So I took them, and I said, I can't use the money for tapes and books, you know, to get an extra vehicle. I didn't budget that. I planned that when my friends come, whatever money they give me, I'll use it to feed. So I kept the money. Now, that's part of your attitude. I kept the money for the tapes and the books in my pocket, and I began to walk about 4 hours in the sun. I wasn't saying, oh, it's sunny. The moment you keep saying things like that, you're in trouble. Keep your eyes on the ball. I kept saying, the meeting is full of the Holy Ghost and I'm blessed in the name of Jesus. I'm going to be there. Power of God's going to come on me in the name of Jesus and my ministry will be enhanced. I was praying in tongues, praying in the Holy Ghost, still fasting. As I got in, unknown to me, that was the first session. The previous day was just a carnival or so. The next day they were doing arrangements. Somehow they were moving into the new site, so it wasn't really, they weren't prepared for things that happened. So by the evening, the man of God got on the stage just about the time I entered. And then he said, there's someone here. You came from Ikorodu. Name of your ministry is Faith Fellowship. Now, it was Faith Family Fellowship. So he didn't have the family one, but I knew it was me. It says Faith and Fellowship, so they're there. So I just came in there. As I got there, there were two of us. I didn't even have to say anything. He said, no, it's you. I knew it was me. So he laid hands on me. As he laid hands on me, then the brother began to sing the song, Jesus, I love you. So that was the first time the song came out. And I received fire. And I said, I take this to the nations of the world. I take this to millions untold in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you grateful I went? Aren't you grateful I was there? That is what is working today. That's what is working today. I have meetings I go to. That when I go for those meetings, is to know God's direction to lead you. I can fast and pray, yeah, on my own. But I know God uses that meeting to give us a direction as a ministry. So I don't miss it. I can get the CDs. But that's not what I'm talking about. It's the atmosphere. One day I was talking to Reverend Tokes, and we were talking about a particular meeting we attended together. He was not at the session because he missed it. So we're talking about the session. So he said, Shekzi, because we're talking about Shekzi, he said, Shekzi, did you watch that thing? He said, what was said? It was so powerful. Say, man. I said, no, I didn't watch it. I was there. I said, well, if you were there, you wouldn't describe it like this. He said, I was told. See, it's better felt than told. Did you hear me? You can't describe it. Imagine the day of Pentecost when Luke was going to talk about it, he said, for they were filled. He was not there. Where were you? You know how to prepare for special meetings. Just a year before the meeting I just mentioned, there was a meeting that took place at Lateran Assembly. You know, I went. By the time I got there, and I discovered it was for a select people, some senior ministers. So I told the fellow who was registering, I said, please. He said, who did you come with? I said, nobody. I didn't lie. I said, nobody. So you know anybody's PA? I said, no. Ah, what are you doing here? I said, please, I came from far. Help me. I have to be inside. Ah, he was in. I said, oh God, touch this guy's heart. He's not a Pharaoh in Jesus' name. He said, okay, when you go inside, don't make noise. Oh, I said, don't worry, I won't make, I won't make noise. That's why I was the one that said it. He said, please don't put me in trouble. I said, I promise you, I won't make noise. So I sat there, the row about 3 or 4 rows. And a man came to Nigeria then by the name of Ross Tatro. He has not been to Nigeria since then, and he has passed on. So where he was ministering, he talked about the mission of the church. He was a Rema graduate. He went to Rema Bible Church, etc. So as he was preaching, he just said, young man, I was the only one he called out. He said, come out. So the Lord asked me to say something to you. So as he was prophesying, he said, are you listening to what I'm saying? I brought out my Walkman. So I'm recording it. I came prepared, sir. I knew the way I was fasting 2 weeks before then, I wasn't going to remain the same. There's an attitude. There's an attitude. Some of us will go for special meetings. You'll be gisting. You have time to be browsing. You lose out. If I go for a meeting with you, I won't even talk to you. Because every moment is important. God uses meetings. He used John's camp meeting for Jesus. He used the camp meeting in Acts 13 for Paul and Silas and Paul and Barnabas. He uses meetings. There are many things you can't get in your room. If you like, go on a mountain and stay there 14 days. Some will not come for prayer meeting in church. They say they're having personal prayer time. You are missing it. There are things you can't get on your own. You have to find where God is working. And I tell you, Carrie's camp meeting is a special meeting. How do we know? Number one, Kenneth Hagin, and of course Pastor Hagin now, gave us the right examples by giving us the taste of old time camp meetings where believers will come together from morning till evening, pray, wait on the Lord, hear God's word, and having the moving of the Spirit. It birthed moves of God in towns, villages, and provinces. So Brother Hagin began in Tulsa. Of course, now in Tulsa. And then we saw it. And I saw the impact the camp meeting had on Nigeria, on Africa, and all over the world. Many times myself and my friends, who are late now, who wait for the tapes of camp meeting to come, and we'll gather in Larry's house, Larry Amuso, my friend, in Agodi Gate, and we'll sit there hours watching and praying and just praying. And years down the line, the Lord led us to have the same kind of camp meeting with the same spirit, with the same impact and more by the grace of God. And we began to have it. Not an ordinary meeting. And so, just by looking at the testimonies over the years of those who were there, even sometimes those who just heard about it, were convinced that God is using Carrie's camp meeting for the nations of the world. We are convinced that by God's Spirit, the Carrie's camp meeting will touch lives, ignite nations, and cause the move of God in many churches. So guys, you have to be there. Not be there physically alone, be there wholeheartedly. God is doing something around the world. He's doing something in your life. He's doing something in our church. And Carrie's camp meeting is a sign for it. Don't be someone who doesn't know what God is doing around him. And he begins to look for what God is doing around him elsewhere. You know, I told people, dishonor can make you pay a heavy price. It can make you pay a heavy price. Where you dishonor something happening around you, then you start to fast for it elsewhere, you won't get it. You'll have to suffer for long to get it. God is working here. I said, God is working here. Kai's camp meeting is a special meeting. It's a Holy Ghost meeting. It's a teaching meeting. It's a healing meeting. It's a believer's meeting. It's a prayer meeting. It's a minister's meeting. It's a worker's meeting. It's a revelation meeting. The Holy Ghost is there. We're having it now. This is the 23rd year. And God has helped us. From the Adeola Odutola College, small hall, where the Spirit of God was moving mightily. Different halls, sport arenas over the years. The influence and the impact has gone around the nations. There are churches today in many countries. During camp meeting, their meetings are to watch camp meeting. All around the world. So many times where I have to travel and go to those nations, they say to me, Pastor, even though we watch you on TV, it is nothing to be compared to when you physically come here. I will be at camp meeting. And I trust God that the power of the Holy Spirit will touch you like never before. Stand to your feet. Oh, Jesus, we honor you.